Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Costos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business, a man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The wonderful Sports Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Costos, our crew, and you on Westwood One Sports. That was an absolute blast, the first hour of the show, talking about the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones quotes on George Pickens, and why I think the Cowboys are likely to trade up in the NFL draft, one of the blue chip defensive prospects. Round one of the 2026 NFL draft, 3 weeks from tomorrow. We got into the Philadelphia Eagles story this morning, released by ESPN, criticizing, not really criticizing, but kind of criticizing, quarterback Jalen Hurts. And I defended Jalen Hurts because, as DJ Khaled famously said, all he does is win. And yet people find a way to bitch, moan, and complain anyway. Super Bowl MVP, could have been MVP of another. And all we want to talk about is that he stinks and he's the problem. Grow up. And then a great conversation with our friend Danny Parkins from First Things First on Fox Sports 1, which ended with me giving this take that I had not considered until the moment. If and when the Knicks get bounced early in the NBA playoffs, will Danny Hurley be the next coach of my New York Knicks? I understand, like, where it's scorching hot take there. I don't even know how much I believe it. I thought about it in the moment. But as a Knicks fan, I am kind of getting a little excited for that possibility. Ian Eagle will join us coming up later this hour, lead play-by-play voice of college basketball on CBS. We will get into Shohei Ohtani. We will get into my Knicks. We will talk about Tiger Woods over the next 2 hours here on this Wednesday. But joining us right now to help us break down the Final Four coming up this Saturday from Indianapolis, a guy who knows a little something about the Final Four, having coached in one, the great Tom Crean, Westwood One analyst on the radio, national college basketball analyst, does a great job for ESPN as well, and former men's college basketball coach who coached Dwayne Wade and Marquette to the Final Four, on Twitter at his name, at Tom Crean. Coach, it's Nick Costos. Sincerely appreciate the time on a Wednesday. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Coach, before we get into Saturday, I want to go back to this Sunday. We need to talk about the end of this Duke-Connecticut game and would love your perspective on it, right? And I'd like to start on the Duke ends and, you know, John Shire, whether right, wrong, or indifferent. And I think, you know, just to say it to you, what I've said to our audience, I think it's right for him to be criticized. Also, I think he's very likely to win a national championship in his time as the head coach of the Duke Blue Devils. What did you make of the end of the game with Duke and Shire after what we saw last year in the national semifinal and how that game ended against the Houston Cougars?
Well, it's two different, totally different things. And in the case of John Shire, the criticism comes on a Final Four game and then an Elite Eight game, and he's 38 in his fourth year as a coach. I mean, those things are tough. When you obviously, when you're at Duke, there's a different level of scrutiny. But I think he's done a fantastic job, and I'm not sure there's a lot different that could have been done other than the way the pass was made by Caden Boozer. The arrow belonged to UConn. So if you hold the ball, there's a chance UConn can get that ball and nothing's changed, right? There is no foul. There's no timeout and they've got possession of the ball. So you can't just stand and wrap it up. And that would be very, very tough. I don't think there was anything. I mean, because you're anticipating getting fouled. So you're keeping the ball. The only problem Caden Boozer had was leaving his feet to pass. And two people jumped up on him. The better alternative, if he has the ball in that situation, is to dribble it and try to dribble against the pressure. and avoid the second defender, the trapper. And now all of a sudden you've got a better opportunity to get fouled, to see the court, to keep the ball, or to make a pass that you don't have to leave your feet to make. And so I think that was the only thing there, that it was just a poor choice of passing, not necessarily that he wanted to pass, but a poor choice of passing by Caden Boozer at the end. But you had the ball was moving. They were moving up court with it. And again, in UConn's situation there, every second matters. And so they were chasing the ball, and they just were very fortunate with how they were able to run up on Caden Boozer at that point. And then the rest is history, literally.
And incredible stuff. And we'll talk about the call that you and Scott Graham had on Westwood One on this past Sunday in a moment. But just as it concerns Danny Hurley and coach, this is another instance of like multiple things can be true, right? Where in my opinion, and you've forgotten more about college basketball than I know and basketball than I know. My opinion is I think Danny Hurley's the best coach in the nation right now. And what he's done, like you can't argue with the results. Also, kind of the way that he conducts himself with officials can certainly leave himself open to scrutiny. And there are different camera angles of this incident with the officials, Roger Ayers, right? And, you know, did he headbutt him? Did he just rest his forehead on him? Do they have a relationship? Just that he kind of keeps putting himself in these spots. Do you have an issue with the way Hurley conducts himself? And where do you kind of come down on this whole debate as it concerns Danny Hurley onto his third Final Four in 4 years?
Well, I don't really rank coaches. I would just say that Danny Hurley is certainly one of the best. And I've known him since he was the head coach at St. Benedict's in New Jersey because we recruited a couple of his players, Dwight Burke, who played for us at Marquette, and David Kubion, who played for us at Marquette. So I got a chance to see him. I coached against him when he was in college, when he was at Seton Hall, and I was at Western Kentucky. So I have followed him and known him for a long time. He is outstanding. He's got an outstanding staff. And at the end of the day, you're going to do what you get away with. You're going to go as far as the referees will allow you to go. And in his case, because of how I do think there's a lot of good that he has with the officials. And I think in this particular case with Roger Ayers, Roger Ayers is one of the more communicative. I personally like Roger a lot. I liked working. I like being in games when he was working. I like him as a person. I would actually now consider him a friend of mine, and because I keep in touch with him, he'll answer questions for me. And in that situation, it put Roger in a tough spot, and I just truly hope that this wasn't an optics reason as to why that he wasn't one of the nine officials that's officiating in the Final Four. Because to look at it and say that he didn't have one of the nine best years or one of the nine best tournaments, I would have a hard time believing that because I just think he's outstanding. So I hope that didn't play into it because it got so much attention. But I didn't look at that. You know, Danny, because of the way he is with the officials, you couldn't do that if you didn't have some commonalities with them and some respect amongst each other, because there's also, you know, watching the games with Danny, I mean, there's numerous times he's saying something to them in jest. They might smile back. They might laugh. Like there doesn't have to be a friendship in officiating and coaching, but you've got to have a communicative relationship, because the worst officials are the ones that won't communicate to you why they called what they called or answer your questions. And the older officials, the people that have been doing this for a lot of years, they're some of the best communicators that are out there. So I think, you know, Danny knows in most cases, and I'm not speaking for him, I'm just in an observation way. I think he knows to the limit that he can get. And every once in a while he crosses that, and because of the intensity level, and it can go wrong for him, you know, like it did at Marquette. But he is in constant communication with the officiating crew during a game. I mean, and when I mean constant, I mean constant. So if it was all bad, there's no way that he would be able to get away with that.
And look, Roger Ayers is not the story here, Coach. The story is UConn. The story is the other three teams playing in the national semifinal on Saturday. But just to follow up on something you said, like if it's, and you know way more about this than me, Like, if Roger Ayers is considered to be this great official and he's put together this body of work and, like, I don't pay close attention to that, it almost certainly has to be the optics of what happened that's preventing him. And I know I'm not asking, I know you don't know this, but just like the power of deductive reasoning, right? That's probably what it is why he's not refereeing these games. I'm not looking to put you on the spot here. Just like, it has to be that, right?
Well, I don't know. I would hope not. Put it that way. I would hope not, because the head of officiating, Chris Rathstatter, he had to have the list into the NCAA selection committee on his choices by 11 o'clock Eastern time this past Monday. I do know that. And they were meeting on it at 11:30 that morning. I do know that. So I don't really know much past that. I mean, that started to transpire. I mean, I'm at the game on courtside. I never saw that, right? And then all of a sudden, it happens. And I hope not. I just hope not. I hope not, because that didn't have anything to do with Roger Ayers. And there's no way, if Roger Ayers would have felt any type of consternation, any
like he's being threatened or anything, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say threatening, because it's not like that. But if he'd have felt any type of anger in that situation from Danny, which absolutely there's not going to be, right? It was just a reaction. And I just think at the end of the day, these officials officiate guys like Danny Hurley so much that they just know, right? Like, there was nothing bad about that. And that's why, like, when Terry McCauley, the officiating man for the NFL, chimes in and rips Roger Ayers for not calling it technical, like, what are you talking about, man? Like, you don't.
Terry needs to stay in his lane. Like, it's not about Terry McCauley. Like, he needs to stay in his lane a little bit. I agree with you. I'm saying that. You don't have to say it like that. That's my opinion.
I'm saying it too. You're on TV. You know NFL officiating. We all get to have an opinion, but don't treat it like it's gospel, like you know something the rest of us don't. Because that's not true, right? Like, that's not true. None of us know, right? But through observation, there was nothing remotely negative about that when you look back at the clip. And then watching it during the games, Danny is in constant communication with the officials. And that's just the way that it is. And so there's no way it would, if anything was ever negative, that would ever lead to that point. Danny would never get to that point if there was a lot of negativity going on that they deemed over the top. So it's a lot to do about nothing, unfortunately. I just hope it's not something that kept him from going. And I got to believe with Chris Rathstatter, all the data that they use, all the way that they look at it, I got to believe that it didn't. At least I hope it didn't.
You better you bet on this Wednesday, Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos joined by Tom Crean, who coached Marquette to a Final Four, Westwood One national college basketball analyst and coach. Before we preview the games this weekend, I thought you and Scott Graham this past Sunday in D.C., we played the call, like Scott's call of the Braylon Mullen shot. Like, it was, you guys did a spectacular job calling the game nationally on the radio for Westwood One. What was it like being on the broadcast of that game and specifically that ending?
Well, the most important thing as an analyst, the two most important words, layout. Right? That's
right.
I'm well versed on that. I've made my mistakes in radio. I don't have a long radio career, but I've made my mistakes on that. And as it happened, Scott nailed it. I mean, I told Scott, I said, working with him on that day is going to be incredible, because that's going to go down as one of the great calls in college basketball history. And really, my first reaction watching it all, I was waiting for the foul. We see the turnover. I'm looking back as all the chaos is ensuing. I'm looking back to make sure the shot is good, because we have a replay monitor right in front of us. So Scott's making the call. The crowd is going crazy. I'm just looking to make sure if there's anything I can add that I'm accurate, because the last thing you want to be in that situation is jumping on something that's not accurate. And right away, you see it, you know, and I probably didn't even pay close to enough I mean, I knew Alex Caravan made the pass, but then you look back and say, whoa, he had the presence of mind to make that pass in that situation when he had just hit a three a couple possessions before at the top of the key for his first three. He's in his range, and he makes that pass to Mullins. But what stuck out to me was how well Braylon Mullins shot that ball. There was no hero in it. There was no, because that happens a lot of times on last second shots. guys shoot that jump shot like a fadeaway, you know, like they're posing. Picture perfect jump shot. He got lift on it. He held his follow through, and it was amazing. But it, I knew when that happened immediately that I was a part of something really, really big. Now, you don't realize it how great till after, but you knew in that moment it was incredible once you saw how close it was to the end of the game and then see that replay of how it happened. So it was a real honor to be a part of that. Larry Costigan, our producer, was phenomenal in that. And I just did my very best to stay out of the way till I could add something of value.
It's going to, I'm not just saying this, Coach, I think everybody knows it. It's a moment and a call, both Ian Eagle, who will join us later this hour, you and Scott Graham on radio, like that, it's going to live forever. And it's pretty awesome. And it was a great sporting event, obviously, on Sunday. We got a couple minutes to go, Coach, but just love your thoughts on the two games coming up, the national semifinals this weekend. Let's start with Illinois and UConn. And both point spreads in the game, it's basically picked the winner of the game. Illinois, a very small favorite against Connecticut. It feels like, to me, Coach, people are kind of, and Illinois is a small favorite. It feels like everyone loves UConn after what happened this past weekend. I personally feel like Illinois is the better team. I think the Illini are going to win. How does Tom Crean see it coming up, Illinois and UConn in the first game on Saturday?
Well, I think Illinois, they've already played this year, and UConn beat them. Braylon Mullins was just coming back from injury. He had 2 points in that game, I believe, if I remember correctly. Illinois will have a lot. They will have a challenge guarding that offense. Duke did. And again, when people are watching and studying this game and they're looking to handicap it, don't just look at the missed shots of UConn. Look at the open shots, right? Because eventually, as was the case late with Caravan in the Michigan State game, and certainly was in the case of the Duke game, he made an open shot late, the one we talked about with Cam Boozer. Cam Boozer had a hard time chasing Alex Caravan through those screens. Now, you know, Illinois could do a lot of different things. They got one of the best defenders in college basketball in Kylan Boswell. Stojakovic is a big defender. Keaton Wagler is thin and a freshman, but he does work very hard defensively. Chasing UConn around is going to be a problem. I would just say this with people. Really study when they get in the bonus, the free throw type numbers that they have inside of these games. I do think the rebound margin, who can win the rebound game, if it's anything in the +5, +6, is going to be important. Duke did a really good job with the ball of not being exposed in the first half. They didn't make all great passes, but UConn didn't get them. Then UConn turned them over. It was 8-1 in turnovers in the second half. Duke with 8, UConn with 1, 14-0, I believe it was, in points off turnovers. That was a huge turning point in the game. I mean, it was a huge turning point. And I would just tell people to really, really look at that. When it comes to Arizona and when it comes to Michigan, Arizona doesn't take a lot of threes. And that is actually beneficial against Michigan if you don't have big men that are three-point shooters. Because big men that are three-point shooters can really hurt Michigan because they're drop coverage where the bigs are in the paint on the pick and roll, or they have to run out to a big. Well, they don't have that at Arizona. But long rebounds and a lot of missed threes with the ability that Michigan has to rebound the ball, they do something that's very, very unique. They throw as long and as deep outlets as anybody in college basketball, including at times full-length baseball passes, because they release early. But Yaxel Landenberg is the hardest matchup in this tournament to me. He's also the best outlet passer in this tournament. And those create advantages that all of a sudden you look back at the game and all of a sudden they got 6-8 points just by beating the team down the floor with long passes versus on the dribble. And those things matter. So it's going to be a great tournament. I think the Yaxel Landenborg, Ivan Karchenkov matchup, as much as that is possible in that game, is going to be huge. I think Arizona has the best pure guard core in the tournament. And at the end of the day, as important as your bigs are, your guards got to make plays. But I would just tell people to really, really study the free throw numbers, the free throw attempt numbers in a big way for a tournament like this.
Coach, my final question, and I love the analysis of the two games on Saturday, and this is not meant to be at all disrespectful to Illinois and Connecticut. Is Arizona-Michigan actually the national championship game? As in, winner of that game will win the national championship coming up five nights from now, next Monday night, in about 30 seconds to wrap.
Yeah, they could, but I don't look at it that way. Let's go back to last year. Okay, Houston comes back on Duke in the second half. People thought Duke had that game won. Houston was up against Florida. Houston goes into the bonus at the 14.5 minute mark against Florida in the second half. Houston's up. Houston never, they got maybe five free throws the rest of the game other than the technical free throw. Florida wins the game at the end because Houston decided they were going to shoot more jump shots and not create contact and more pull-ups or threes than they were getting to the foul line. Anything can happen. And I know that's cliche-ish, but it's true. When you get four teams like that of that capability in the tournament like that, people got to study the past and the numbers, but there is no way that the Arizona-Michigan game is a gimme on who will win on Monday night.
Coach, I think that you may need to apologize to my executive producer. Would you like to know why I think you may need to do that?
Go ahead. Sure, yeah. He may have to get in line because I owe apologies to a lot of people. Go ahead.
No, because I can't believe, I'm pretty sure in the years I've been doing the show, this is the first time that I've ever had you on the show. And like, mm-hmm. Not that I didn't know this, but this was so good that I'm actually pissed at him that we haven't had you on the show previously. So I'm going to say to him during the break, like, hey, Bill, like, why have we not had Coach Tom Crean on the show previously? You're awesome.
Oh, he's tried.
You did
he's
a great
tried.
Job.
We've had some issues. We've had some issues getting timing right, but I'm happy to be able to do it. So, and we'll do it again.
Oh, that's great. Honestly, I'm a little upset that you said that because I wanted to be mad at Bill because I think it's funny both for me and for the
Bill.
Show.
Bill works now. Bill works. Don't be mad at Bill. I'm on Bill's side. This is more me not having the with the timing of some things than it is anything else. So, but I'm happy to do it.
I gotta tell you, you're a good teammate, much better than me. Stay well, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Coach Tom Crean joining us here on You Better You Bet. I was kind of like half kidding there. Love that. Coach immediately took Bill's side. That is a great teammate, Coach Tom Crean. All right, we'll take a quick break. Ian Eagle will join us later this hour. I mean, the show, you got to give Bill credit. Pretty good guest today. Ian Eagle coming up later this hour, but on the other side, why Deshaun Watson will and should be the week one starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns here on You Better You Bet.
The Final Four is set. Illinois versus UConn. Michigan against Arizona. It all starts Saturday at 5 Eastern. And your countdown to tip starts right here, right now, from your home of the NCAA tournament, Westwood One Sports.
Empower.
After wanting one for years, Kevin is finally enjoying his new hot tub.
This is the life.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money, so now he could be a little bad.
Oh, no, not my phone.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin's phone may be in hot water, but his finances aren't. Invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
In the game of life, every point matters, especially when it comes to your loved ones. Score big for your family this March by securing life insurance with SelectQuote. Their team of experienced, licensed insurance agents can help you find the right policy at the right price in just minutes. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. My wife's also 40, and her $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. Plus, with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote can help you score big on affordable coverage. Don't let the clock run out on your chance to protect your family's future.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-840-3030. That's 1-800-840-3030. Or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-840-3030.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today.
We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call 1-800-217-4380. That's 1-800-217-4380. Again, 1-800.
By Robert Levenger, insurance agent.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
This segment sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. We have a lot of NFL news we have to get to here on the show still. I'd like to touch on the Giants and Odell Beckham and that possibility. Just have so much content. We'll make sure we get into all of it tomorrow and Friday on the show if we don't get to all of it today. But I want to talk about Odell Beckham. We got to get into Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers and how insane that whole situation is. But I feel compelled right now to, because it's become a national story, to talk about Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Now, I said, Bill, I said it after we made the switch to Westwood One Sports, right? I don't think this was in December. I think it was after the NFL regular season ended, right? When the Browns are trying to figure out who their next head coach is going to be. They ultimately settle on Todd Monken to be the next head coach. And I said at the time, Deshaun Watson's going to start the most games this year for Cleveland. And I actually think he should. So Browns owner Jimmy Haslam says this week at the league meetings that Deshaun Watson has, quote, a great chance to start this year for the Cleveland Browns. Now, new head coach of the Browns, Todd Monken, has been a little more diplomatic, right, saying there's going to be a competition and whoever the best guy is going to play. So the other guys on the roster for the Cleveland Browns, in case you've forgotten, how could you? Shedeur Sanders, who has switched his jersey number from 12 to 2, the number he wore in Colorado. Good luck with that. And Dylan Gabriel. And Dylan Gabriel, I think, is very likely to be like a 10-year backup quarterback in the NFL. Nothing wrong with that. Going to be really rich and not have to deal with a lot of pressure. Deshaun Watson, not a good guy. Allegedly. But by all accounts, this is not a good human being. I am not looking to sports wash, as it's called, Deshaun Watson as a human being, or make it like he's someone you should root for if you're not a Browns fan. You know, someone that should be lauded and praised as like this one former great quarterback. By all accounts, this is a sexual predator, not a good human being. And everybody knows it, right? It's not a secret. Like, he's never going to beat those allegations, nor should he. But we have to be able to separate just from a perspective of what happens on the field, the off-field stuff from what can happen on the field. And I believe, even coming off the injuries, right, the Achilles, the rotator cuff, etc., even coming off those injuries, if the Browns' goal is to win as many games as possible this season, and I think that that's going to be what it is in year one under Todd Monken, Deshaun Watson should absolutely be the quarterback. Deshaun Watson, I think even now, the ceiling is higher for Watson than it is for Dylan Gabriel and higher than it is for Shedeur Sanders. And the Sanders part, will make a lot of people really mad to say that. I'm not trying to poo-poo Shedeur Sanders' chances of, you know, being an NFL quarterback, but I mean, at his best, Watson's way better than Shedeur Sanders. And maybe he doesn't get there. Maybe he never gets back to that form. But here's what I know. And if we're going to be fair to Deshaun Watson, which people don't, and I get it, I understand. Like, the fit with him and Kevin Stefanski's offense was, it was never going to work. Never. Watson wants to run this spread offense like he did in Houston, like he did in college at Clemson. And that's not what Kevin Stefanski wants. Like, we kind of saw this with Kyler Murray in Arizona. Now, it's not Stefanski running the offense there, but it's Drew Petsing, who's now the coordinator of the Lions, right? He's a Stefanski guy. Now Watson's going to be in an offensive scheme that actually, with Todd Monken calling the offense, actually, I think, is going to fit his skill set well. And I think he's the best bet out of the quarterbacks on that roster to actually run that scheme and win the Browns as many games as possible. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a lot. I'm not saying that. But who do I think is the best choice for the Browns to win games this season? I think it's Deshaun Watson. While also acknowledging he is not someone that I will ever personally ever root for. Quick break. Coming up next, the great Ian Eagle on Westwood One Sports.
DQ presents the Blizzard Double Flip Deal. For a limited time, when you buy one Blizzard treat, you get a second for just 99 cents. That's two Blizzards, two spoons, two flavors, and two flips. So don't miss out on the Blizzard Double Flip Deal, available only for a limited time and happening now at DQ. Because the only thing better than a Blizzard treat is a second Blizzard treat for just 99 cents. It's a deal to flip for. The Blizzard Double Flip Deal. Participation may vary.
In the game of life, every point matters, especially when it comes to your loved ones. Score big for your family this March by securing life insurance with SelectQuote. Their team of experienced, licensed insurance agents can help you find the right policy at the right price in just minutes. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. My wife's also 40, and her $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. Plus, with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote can help you score big on affordable coverage. Don't let the clock run out on your chance to protect your family's future.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-840-3030. That's 1-800-840-3030. Or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-840-3030. Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent
for by Robert Levenger, insurance agent.
At the tone, the broadcast will begin in 1 minute. stations, this is your final time check. At the tone, the broadcast will begin in 30 seconds.
Star ahead, Boozer, that ball deflected and stolen by Mullins. Caravan, 2 seconds, Mullins tosses it up. Oh! It's good! With .3, UConn goes in front.
You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
The voice of the legendary Ian Eagle this past Sunday on CBS, along with Bill Raftery and Grant Hill. One of the great calls, one of the great moments in the history of the NCAA tournament. And joining us right now to discuss, no better guest to talk about it than the man himself, the legend, the great Ian Eagle. Ian, your pal Nick Costos here on a Wednesday on You Better You Bet. What's going on, my friend?
Yes, my pal Nick. Great to talk to you, bud.
Take us through it. You've been doing the NCAA tournament for a long time. I've told you the story on air of me taking off from school the opening Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament in 1999 when Shaheen Holloway, you called Seton Hall over Oregon in the first round. I grew up a Seton Hall fan. Absolutely lost my mind. And here we are now in 2026. You have this unbelievable call. You've called so many great NCAA tournament games, so many amazing NCAA tournament moments. Can you put this one in perspective for us? The Braylon Mullins winner to send UConn to the Final Four and send Duke home.
I hate to tell you, the statute of limitations is not up. You got detention. you were supposed to be in school that day. This is unfortunate right. to come out in this manner. That's really sad. This was different in so many ways because of the sequence of events. I think often when you get what is either a game winner or a bucket that puts a team in front. In this case, it wasn't the official game winner with no time remaining. There were still 0.3 seconds left. They added 0.1 seconds when they looked at the clock during the timeout. It really is the frenetic sequence and the chaos that created. So as a play-by-play announcer, you tend to consider all the possibilities in your head of what could happen with 10 seconds left triggering the inbound for Duke. And the main possibility that you go to is, oh, it's going to be a free throw shooting contest. We're going to go to the line. We'll have some time to dissect what the next move is. We'll catch our breath. We'll exhale. And then obviously what took place is nothing that you could imagine, that they would turn the ball over in that manner and create a shot that will be remembered forever. That was just one of those incredible plays that I don't know if it will ever be duplicated in that fashion. In addition, Nick, even just listening to the highlight, the way the ball swished through the net, it was the purest shot you could possibly take and make in that moment. It is an all-timer.
The video of you guys calling it, right? And the reaction from Bill Raftery and Grant Hill specifically, because you're calling the play, they have the opportunity to lay out and kind of absorb what's just happened. The first time I watched it, I'm thinking, are we going to lose Bill Raftery here? I mean, the reaction, Ian, was unbelievable from these guys. You could really sense the emotion of the moment there from both, obviously from you, but you're calling the play, and it's written all over their faces in the most perfect way. I absolutely loved that video. I'm guessing you did as well.
Yeah, I think it might be the first time in my career that we may have needed a defibrillator because that's what it looked like. Raff and Grant were mirroring what people were feeling. It was utter shock and complete professionalism in the moment to allow me to hit the call and then wait a beat, Bill, let it breathe for a second, and the perfect statement, because that's what everybody was feeling in the moment, and then jump in trying to put a period on it. It was so unique, and for a broadcast team, you don't get to plan these things. You don't even talk about them. It's an unspoken trust between everybody on the crew of filling your roles. Then Grant coming in with the detailed analysis, and the fact of the matter is Boozer didn't have to bring it across. He didn't have to pass it. And I think 10 things had to happen on that particular play for UConn to win the game, and all of them did.
Can we talk about Grant Hill for a second?
Yep.
When people talk about your crew, right, whether I think it's wrong, but whether right, wrong, or indifferent, people will talk about how great you are, right? Or how legendary and how funny Bill Raftery is. And I agree with that as well. My personal opinion, I am watching you guys, listening to you guys call these games. I actually think Grant Hill is like the absolute perfect compliment to what you guys, and I mean that in a complimentary way, not in a negative way. I think that he clearly grooves off your guys' humor. He hits you with really good analysis. He's incredibly likable. And this is my opinion now, right? My opinion is I actually think he doesn't get the credit that I believe he deserves. Because yes, you're great. And yes, Bill Raftery's great. I actually think people in general are sleeping on the greatness of Grant Hill calling these games as a member of your crew. I'd love for you to give us, you know, your experience and your feelings on working with Grant Hill.
He's the glue. He brings class. He brings experience. He brings insight. He brings levity. He helps us put it all together. And I'm with you 100%. I think he is so good at this job. He has settled into a really comfortable place of analyzing basketball, and his insight, having done it at the highest level, having had all of these different roles within his life in basketball and outside of basketball, I think gives him the unique perspective to be the voice in that moment that can provide the viewer with clarity and understanding. So I'm with you 100%. I think Grant has been terrific. And more than anything else, I can tell you just on a personal level, he's just one of the best people to be around. And this partnership, which, look, you never know, Nick, you don't know how these things will go. You certainly do everything in your power to make sure that it's going to be a place where everyone can do their best work. But these things develop over time based on dynamic, based on friendship, based on who fills what role at what time. And I do think with our group, including Tracy, we've just figured that part out so we can all just go out and do our thing.
Do you think any part of Grant wanted to get up and throw the inbound pass at the end of the game like he did in 92 to Christian Laettner?
Yeah, that whole play had happened 34 years earlier the day before. So
wild,
Saturday,
right?
Was 34 years. We had the video queued up 7 different times, and it was just a matter of, did it fit? Was it going to work in this moment? And every time something else happened or something else took us in a different direction. And the reality is Rick Pitino was there with St. John's, and Grant and Rick sat down, did an excellent one-on-one interview just through their lens of what that day meant, what that game meant, Kentucky and Duke. The thing with Grant that I've noticed, because I've done a bunch of Duke games with him, he can separate himself. And that's not easy. It's not simple, considering.
You wouldn't know, I feel like, Ian. I don't feel like you would know. If you didn't know Grant went to Duke, and I mean, this is like the ultimate compliment. If you didn't know that he went to Duke and won titles for Duke, like,
yep,
you wouldn't know listening to him broadcast the game that he went to Duke. There is zero bias there, and I mean that sincerely.
I agree. And obviously I'm there right next to him. And when the steal took place, if you really look closely at the video, he puts his arm into my rib cage because we sense that something big might be happening. And the funniest part about the whole camera thing, it's normally a three shot. It has all three of us in it. We don't have a feed of it. We don't see it. It usually just goes to the truck, and then whatever happens after that, there are crews that will go to it live on the air occasionally. The ball on an out-of-bounds play that hit, it was going towards Raf, it hit the camera, and it shifted the camera over, so it was just the two of them, which to me made it even better, and it just struck me as perfection. Getting that reaction in that moment was just simply the cherry on top.
We only, Ian, have a couple minutes to go. I'm fascinated. And as I said at the top, right, you've called so many great games, so many legendary moments across so many different sports. Where does that one rank for you in your career, the Braylon Mullins three-pointer on Sunday?
You know, I've been in some really unique situations that weren't necessarily mainstream because it was a world feed, NBA Finals, Michael Jordan's last shot, Bulls against the Jazz, Brian Russell, was it a push-off, was it not, Bulls win, and it ends up being his final moment as a Chicago Bull.
It was a push-off.
World feed. Yeah, it probably was. I don't know if I called it that way.
I'm
going
a Knicks fan.
Into the Philippines, but I think my coverage did at least cover what had taken place in the moment. Same deal with the Super Bowl. I've done the last four on the world feed. So you know, Mahomes against the 49ers, last second touchdown, Mecole Hardman. Those moments stick with you. I can tell you this. I did not sleep well after this game. And I had no skin in the game. I obviously have no association to either team. All you really focus on is doing a good broadcast and then let the chips fall where they may. So that game hit me in a manner that I was restless. My mind was racing all night. So I can only imagine what anyone associated with Duke, what John Shire has been experiencing, who's a terrific coach, by the way, and I think he's going to get to the mountaintop eventually. And when he does, it's going to be really sweet. But these last 2 years have been complete heartbreakers.
I know that you guys will always say, like, what you root for is just a great game, right? And you've got a bunch of them in this NCAA tournament. My sincere hope, and look, the point spreads will tell you, maybe we get a couple more coming up on Saturday and one next Monday night. Ian will be on the call on CBS along with Bill Raftery and Grant Hill of the Final Four this Saturday and next Monday night's national championship game. My friend, you are absolutely the best. Congrats. This was outstanding this past weekend, and we'll catch up with you down the line.
All right, Nick, really appreciate it. Love you, bud. Talk soon.
I got to tell you, as much as Ian loves me, I love him more. He's the best. We might have needed a defibrillator. I'm telling you, I'm like, is Bill Raftery gonna croak on the air here? But what an unbelievable job by the three of them, and I meant that. I really do think Grant Hill is wildly underrated. And I think Ian's right. He is the glue of that team. Fantastic stuff. Final hour, Power Hour coming up next. We start the final hour, the Power Hour. We'll talk some soccer. Yeah, with the United States losing again yesterday. Anthony DiBundo from The Ringer joins us.
This is Westwood One Sports.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. As a trusted leader in bathroom renovation, Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. Get half off installation or 18 months with no interest and no payments. Whether it's tub replacement, a shower replacement, or a tub-to-shower conversion, Bath Planet makes your custom bath fast, easy, and affordable. This special offer is only available by calling 800-208-8750. That's 800-208-8750.
Paid for by Bath Concepts Industries.
Empower! Pete's back on the links with all new golf clubs and hopefully less swearing.
Bang! Sliced it.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money, so he can be a little bad.
Heads up!
Oof. Talent
sold separately.
Guy said these were slice proof.
At least he has money for lessons. Invest well, live a little. Start today.
7 Now Gold.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FM HD2 New York, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on the